Welcome back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Friday Smooth coming up in about 15 minutes with Craig, and hopefully Howard will show up this week. We also are going to talk a little baseball because our guy Rob Raines, he's one of the few in St. Louis that actually goes and gets his own eyes on Cardinal prospects. He's been in Springfield. Rob, thanks for being a part of the program. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Frank. Thank you. How are you?
Good. Where are you right now, and what are your plans? Where have you been?
I'm still at my Drury Hotel room in Springfield. Been down watching the Springfield Cardinals the last couple of nights. Just did a feature on Victor Scott II, who's headed to the Futures game tomorrow night in Seattle, along with Tim Kent. So, a good chance to catch up with him and some of the other guys, get some of the stories that will be coming up on the site here within the next few days.
Yeah, let's start by talking about Victor Scott. Give us your take on, I think he's hitting about 280 as we speak. Tell me about him.
Yeah, well, he's a base dealer is the main thing. He's got 52 stolen bases so far this year. He's second in all of minor league baseball behind actually a friend of his that's a former summer ball teammate of his that we talked about in the story a little bit. And yeah, he's a guy that went in the fifth round of the draft last year, so just about 12 months exactly from when he got picked and up in the organization and started this year in Peoria and stole 50 bases in 66 games, got promoted to Springfield, been down here about a week now. Very high on his future, the terrific defensive outfielder, center fielder, you know, obviously with his speed that he can go down and track down balls in the outfield. That King told me he saved a lot of hits for him over the last year and a half that he's played with him. So I think he's a kid that the question will be about his bat. You know, obviously he's got to hit well enough to get on base, but if he can do that and use his speed, I think he's got a chance to keep moving up through the organization.
Kind of sounds like a Whitey Herzog kind of outfielder in Whitey ball, right?
Well, it is funny because one of the area scouts who signed him was going to T.C. Calhoun, and I talked to him as well, and he made that reference that he thought he could probably have been a player on the 80s, the Cardinals in the 1980s. And, you know, it's a kind of a long start. I actually talked to Vince Coleman, too, about it, and Vince is going to see him this weekend because Vince is one of their coaches in the HBCU All-Star game tonight in Seattle, part of the FS2s, and Vince is going to track down Victor and talk to him a little bit. And he's sort of excited to realize that he's you know, got a guy that's halfway to 100. Victor said before the season started, his goal was to get to 100 stolen bases. So we'll see if he can make it. I mean, the double-A level is a lot tougher because the pitchers are better, the catchers are better. You know, so trying to get the other 50 that he got 50 in Peoria, but trying to get the other 50 in Springfield is going to be a little bit tougher challenge for him. But yeah, TC mentioned that he was a guy that the Cardinals thought about. And I think, you know, stolen bases is kind of a lost art, and it's a skill that I think is still valuable. I think speed is still a valuable asset, and I'd like to see more guys get a chance to do that and not just rely on home runs all the time. Like I asked Victor about that, if he thought there was a place in the game for him, you know, today's game, and he said, yeah. He goes, if I'm not on base with the speed guys on base, how many RBIs is a guy going to get if he hits a home run? So.
I got to ask you, too, about Chandler Redmond, who I think he has 23 home runs, and he actually draws walks, high on base percentage. Do they regard him as a prospect? What about him defensively?
He's kind of making a name for himself. Yeah, he's the guy, too. Don't forget, he's actually one of the guys I'm going to write about. I have a story coming up later next week on talking to him as well. He's the guy that hit for the home run cycle last August. Don't forget, he had a solo home run, a two-run homer, a three-run homer, and a grand slam in the same game, only the second time that's happened in professional baseball. But, yeah, he's improved. He had 21 homers all last year. He already had 23. So he's slimmed down. He kind of did some nutritional work this winter. I don't know how much of a prospect he is. He's getting a little bit older. I'd like to see him get a shot at AAA to see what he could do at that level, and then, you know, kind of, you never know. Primarily a first baseman DH type, but I think he can, you know, he's good enough defensively to play there, so it'll be interesting to see. You know, he was another guy that kind of developed through the system. He was a 32nd round pick a few years ago in the round they don't even have anymore in the draft, so you know, he does have an interesting story as well.
Tink Hentz, is he pitching tonight, or are they going to hold him for the...
Go ahead. Yeah, he's going to the Futures game. He pitched on Tuesday. He made his double-A debut on Tuesday with five innings. It's okay. You know, I think the nerves are a little... You know, that was the big fireworks night here, so they had over 6,000 people. So he said it was the biggest crowd he pitched in front of since he was like 12 years old. It was in a tournament in Cooperstown, New York. So I think, you know, he's a kid that they're still kind of moving along slowly. I mean, as far as like his pitch count and innings pitched and that kind of stuff, because he's still only 20 years old. He won't turn 21 until August. So he's, you know, obviously I think kind of passed Graceffo a little bit because of the injuries this year. Graceffo has been the best pitching prospect in our organization. So, you know, pitched well in the fall league last year. I'm sure he'll get a chance to pitch an inning or so in the Futures game on Saturday, and then he'll move back into the rotation down here for, you know, probably the rest of the season and see what he can do. And hopefully just get a chance to kind of pitch more than five or six innings in a ballgame.
Could you picture him next spring training competing for a job on the big league roster?
I could. I think it also kind of depends on what other moves the organization makes between now and then. You know, he's a guy that certainly will be in contention for that spot, I think, but he might still be a year or so away. I mean, as I say, he would go into spring training next year at the age of 21, so with still not a lot of innings under his belt at the minor league level. So I think they'd like to see him still get up to be a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger, a little more experience before they probably try to push him into that category. I mean, we've all, you know, I don't want to make comparisons to Liberatore, but we've seen comparison, you know, some situations where guys might have been rushed a little bit before their time. And you hear about these guys for so long and the prospect status for so long that you kind of think they're older than they are. You know, and Liberatore is still only 23, but I think, you know, hence being 21, I think they're going to give him a little more time before they do that. But then again, the kid that pitched for Miami last night was only 20 years old, so if he's ready, he's ready. Doesn't matter what the age is.
And then for our listening audience, what do you think he weighs, and how hard does he start throwing a game at? What number?
Well, he'll hit 99. He hit 99 on the gun on Thursday. On Tuesday. He's probably 170 pounds, maybe.
Yeah, he's a little guy. It's crazy that he generates that kind of velocity. Wow.
Yeah, the comparison, two comparisons. One is the Pedro Martinez comp, and the second one is, kind of very similar to Marcus Stroman.
Okay, yeah, we'll take that. Yeah. Anything else AA prospect-wise?
I've got some, you know, the interesting stories. I don't know for sure how many prospects they have down here. It's kind of, you know, you had last year, you had Walker and Wynn and Graceffo and McGreevy all year, so you kind of, you know, ran that group through last year, and now they're up to Memphis, and as I say, Scott and Hintz were the start of the year at Peoria, so now they've kind of gotten here for the rest of the year, so they're probably the top of the crop right now, right here. So, you know, they're coming up, of course, you know, starting Sunday night will be the draft, and we'll have all the coverage for that over the next 3 days as well here on the site, but it's, you know, that's where you get these guys from, so it'll be interesting to see who they come up with this year. Pick 21 overall, and they lost the second round pick, don't forget, to Chicago, or compensation pick to Chicago because of signing Contreras, so they'll pick 21st on Sunday night, and they don't have another pick until the 90th overall pick in the draft on Monday.
All right. We just had a long conversation about trade deadline possibilities. Rob, you would agree, first of all, you can get more for the big three potential free agents, Montgomery, Flaherty, and Hicks, by moving them at the deadline as opposed to getting what you'd get in draft choice compensation. You would get more in return, correct?
Probably, because your compensation pick would probably be after the second round. So it would be the same thing as Contreras, and that would be only if you made them a qualifying offer through free agency. So you're talking, the Cubs pick this year is 68th overall, so you're probably in that 60 to 70 range with those picks if you were to go that route. So my prediction would be that they won't trade all three of those guys. I think they trade one, maybe two, but I don't think you trade all three. We'll see, but that would be my gut feeling as of now.
What would be the point if, when you are at the deadline and it looks dismal, if it looks really dismal, what would be the point in keeping any of those three? If you're trying to reload, why not move them all?
Well, because you might want one of those guys pitching on your team next year. You know, and so I think that's something they still have to think about.
Well, I'd like to sign them, but if they say, like, before the trade deadline, no, we're going to play it out because we want to negotiate with 30 teams and not one team, if you get a definite no that they're not going to resign, then...
Right. But I don't know that they'll tell you that. I don't think they'll give you a definite no, because they all know they're probably going to get the qualifying offer, which for Jordan Hicks, you get Jordan Hicks a qualifying offer, it's going to be close to $20 million next year.
So he just may take it.
I just think he might take it. For a year. You know, you can't be certain. I mean, there's no guarantees about any of that. But okay, you trade Jordan Hicks. I mean, I guess you have to make sure that Helsley's healthy to be back to be your closer for the rest of the season, because you're going to need somebody to do that job. So it all comes down to what you're offered. You know, how many teams are interested in those guys and what the offers are. And if you can get a good enough offer, I think you do pull the trigger.
Boy, I can imagine some team that thinks they're on the cusp of winning it, and let's just say Montgomery continues to throw like he does, and Jack has three more really good starts before the deadline. I could imagine, you know, the Cardinals scouts of minor league systems are really sharp. I can imagine them getting some pretty good players.
I think they're going to ask for a lot. I mean, you probably have, with beyond Ohtani and beyond Aaron Nola, and depending on what happens with the Cubs with Stroman, you could argue that Montgomery and probably Flaherty, especially based on the way he's pitched in the last couple of games, are the top starting pitchers who might be available in these trade discussions. So you got to think that somebody's going to maybe overpay to get them. If they're there are a lot of teams that are contending for the wild card spots, and maybe they think that one move like that would put them in the top and put them into a playoff position that they might not normally be in. So it's going to really be interesting to see. So,
all right, how about Paul DeJong? If at the deadline it does look dismal, do you move him and say, Mason Winn, it's your job for the next 2 months? You're playing every day in the big leagues?
Possibly. Yeah, I could see that happening. It's got an option on his contract after this year. So if somebody picks him up at the deadline would have the choice of whether they want to pick up that option. Maybe that's part of the discussions about the Cardinals paying down at least the buyout or whatever on that. So, I think he's going to be of interest to call. I mean, he's had a good year. I think based on what he's been through the last couple of years, he's certainly been better. So I think it's something that they're going to pursue. I would be not at all surprised, because you also could put Edmund back at shortstop too. You wouldn't have to necessarily bring up Mason Winn if you didn't want to at this point. You got other ways to go there.
Huh. Rob Raines is with us, Hollywood Casino Press Box, all new 590 The Fan. I got to ask you about Michael McGreevy, whose numbers are pretty good. They're not show-stopping, 3.73 ERA, but a good record. He's been a solid pitcher, but not regarded as a can't-miss starting rotation guy in the big leagues?
Yeah, I would put him in that, fourth, fifth starter category. I mean, you're talking about guys who would go to spring training next year with a chance to be in that rotation. I think he definitely will be in that group, him and Graceffo both. Especially, considering how they pitch. The thing about McGreevy is he's been healthy, which is good for him. It's helped his chances, helped his numbers, at Memphis this year, because Graceffo's gone through, the injuries and missed quite a few starts. He's back now, which is good, but that's, they're kind of the two top guys at that level. So right now you would look at any openings in the starting rotation, and I think that, both of those guys' names will come up and certainly be in their competition, maybe even before, maybe even by the, if I pass the trade deadline. If you do trade a couple of those starting pitchers at the deadline, you're going to need somebody to start, every fifth day in the big leagues, and one or two of both of those guys might be in that group as well.
Rob, you're the best. Enjoy Springfield. We'll see you next week. Thank you, sir.
I do want to mention real quick, if anybody's interested in our newsletter, so just go to stlsportspage.com. We've got a weekly newsletter that comes out. The new one will be out this afternoon, so anybody can follow us that way as well.
It's a great newsletter, and what do you have on it this week, I should mention?
Just some more about all these stories coming up in the draft coverage and things like that.
So. All right, he's the only guy in the media that from St. Louis that goes and actually sees these guys in person before he puts it in his newsletter. Great material as usual. Thank you, Rob.
All right, Frank, anytime. Thank you.
All right, that is Rob Raines joining us. We'll take a short time.